जय राधा माधव पुण्य बिहारी
And now we begin the 11th canto, chapter 1, The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, Lord Sri Krishna, accompanied by Balaram and surrounded by the Yadu dynasty, executed the killing of many demons. Then, further to remove the burden of the earth, the Lord arranged for the great battle of Kurukshetra, which suddenly erupted in violence between the Kurus and the Pandavas. Because the sons of Pandu were engaged by the numerous offenses of their enemies, such as duplicitous gambling, verbal insults, the seizing of Draupadi's hair, and many other cruel transgressions, the Supreme Lord engaged those Pandavas as the immediate cause to execute his will. On the pretext of the Battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna arranged for all the kings who were burdening the earth to assemble with their armies on opposite sides of the battlefield. And when the Lord killed them through the agency of war, the earth was relieved of its burden. The Supreme Personality of Godhead used the Yadu dynasty, which was protected by his own arms, to eliminate the kings who with their armies had been the burden of this earth. Then the unfathomable Lord thought to himself,
Although some may say that the earth's burden is now gone, in my opinion it is not yet gone, because there still remains the Yadava dynasty itself, whose strength is unbearable for the earth. No outside force could ever bring about the defeat of this family, the Yadu dynasty, whose members have always been fully surrendered to me and are unrestricted in their opulence. But if I inspire a quarrel within the dynasty, that quarrel will act just like a fire created from the friction of bamboo in a grove, and then I shall achieve my real purpose and return to my eternal abode.
My dear King Pariksit, when the Supreme Almighty Lord, whose desire always comes to pass, had thus made up his mind, he withdrew his own family on the pretext of a curse spoken by an assembly of Brahmins. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the reservoir of all beauty. All beautiful things emanate from him, and his personal form is so attractive that it steals the eyes away from all other objects, which then seem devoid of beauty in comparison to him. When Lord Krishna was on the earth, he attracted the eyes of all people. When Krishna spoke, his words attracted the minds of all who remembered them. By seeing the footsteps of Lord Krishna, people became attracted to him, and thus they wanted to offer their bodily activities to the Lord as his followers. In this way, Krishna very easily spread his glories, which are sung throughout the world by the most sublime and essential Vedic verses. Lord Krishna considered that simply by hearing and chanting those glories, conditioned souls born in the future would cross beyond the darkness of ignorance. Being satisfied with this arrangement, he left for his desired destination.
How could the Brahmins curse the Vrishnis, who were always respectful to the Brahmins, charitable, and inclined to serve senior and exalted personalities, and whose minds were always fully absorbed in the thought of Lord Krishna? What was the motive for this curse? What did it consist of, O purest of the twice-born? And how could such a disagreement have arisen among the Yadus, who all shared the same goal of life? Please tell me all these things.
The Lord, who bore his body as the amalgamation of everything beautiful, dutifully executed the most auspicious activities while on the earth, although he was in fact, without any endeavor, already satisfied in all desires. Residing in his abode and enjoying life, the Lord, whose glorification is in itself magnanimous, now wanted to annihilate his dynasty, as there still remained some small part of his duty to be carried out. The sages Vishvamitra, Asita, Kanva, Durvasa, Bhrigu, Angira, Kashyapa, Vamadev, Atri, and Vasishta, along with Narad and others, once performed fruitive rituals that award abundant pious results, bring great happiness, and take away the sins of Kali Yuga for the whole world by merely being recounted. The sages duly executed these rituals in the home of the chief of the Yadus, Vasudeva, the father of Lord Krishna. After Lord Krishna, who was staying in Vasudeva's house as time personified, respectfully sent the sages off at the conclusion of the ceremonies, they went to the holy place called Pindarika. To that holy place, the young boys of the Yadu dynasty had brought Samba, son of Jambavati, dressed in woman's garb. Playfully approaching the great sages gathered there, the boys grabbed hold of the sages' feet and impudently asked them, with feigned humility, "O learned Brahmins, this black-eyed pregnant woman has something to ask you. She is too embarrassed to inquire for herself. She is just about to give birth and is very desirous of having a son. Since all of you are great sages with infallible vision, please tell us whether her child will be a boy or a girl." Thus ridiculed by deceit, the sages became angry, O king, and told the boys, "Fools! She will bear you an iron club that will destroy your entire dynasty." Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba, and indeed they observed that therein was an iron club. The young men of the Yadu dynasty said, "Oh, what have we done? We are so unfortunate. What will our family members say to us?" Speaking thus and being very disturbed, they returned to their homes, taking the club with them. The Yadu boys, the luster of their faces completely faded, brought the club into the royal assembly, and in the presence of all the Yadavas, they told King Ugrasena what had happened. O King Pariksit, when the inhabitants of Dwarka heard of the infallible curse of the Brahmins and saw before them the club, they were astounded and distraught with fear. After having the club ground to bits, King Ahuka, or Ugrasena, of the Yadus, personally threw the pieces, along with the remaining lump of iron, into the water of the ocean. A certain fish swallowed the iron lump, and the bits of iron, carried back to the shore by the waves, implanted themselves there and grew into tall, sharp canes. The fish was caught in the ocean along with other fish in a fisherman's net. The iron lump in the fish's stomach was taken by the hunter Jara, who fixed it as an arrowhead at the end of his shaft. Knowing fully the significance of all these events, the Supreme Lord, though capable of reversing the Brahmin's curse, did not wish to do so. Rather, in his form of time, he gladly sanctioned the events.
Thus ends the first chapter of the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Curse Upon the Yadu Dynasty.